Hello, this is Education Radio, a podcast of the Alamosa School District. I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I'm a mother, a teacher, and your neighbor. Joining me is Assistant Superintendent Luis Murillo.
Hello, Adri. It definitely feels like spring in the valley. It is
yes,
windy
the sun,
out there.
But the wind.
Yes.
We have to put up with the wind.
Yeah. And hey, we had another swatting incident last week. Very unfortunate that we as a community have to go through these things. But part of a conversation today is going to be to share with our community what we're doing to continue to address safety. So later on during our getting to know our schools spot, we have a very special guest.
Good. You know, as a teacher, I took part in that lockdown with my 20 students. And I'm anxious to talk about it too. But first, let's begin with our first segment. Did you know?
Did you know that the Alamosa School District teachers are working on refining our curricula?
Well, actually, I'm well acquainted with this as I am doing it for my class too. But let's tell our audience what that means.
All righty. What this means, the Department of Education in the state of Colorado, they have a set of standards for every grade, every subject area as a base for school districts to follow. Mm-hmm. Now, what we know through research is that if we were going to teach every single standard that is recommended, it would take about 23 years. And we just don't have that time.
Sure.
So what we've embarked on is creating our very own curriculum per subject, per grade level. And what this means is that our schools and our grade level teams are working together to define our essential standards, to pace, to look at resources, to make sure that we arrive at a guaranteed and viable curriculum, meaning that we know that we can teach these standards, that mm-hmm. we have the resources, and that we have the adequate time to make sure that we cover all of these standards or all of this material in the time that we have during the school year. So it's a big task, but we are well underway in doing this during our professional learning communities on Fridays.
Good. Okay. So tell me, why is it a focus this year?
Focus area one of our strategic plan is on high-quality student-centered learning. Specifically, priority two reads effective teaching in every classroom, and mm-hmm. it states the students in Alamosa schools will receive engaging and effective instruction that supports them as they explore complex topics and gain deeper understanding of content knowledge. We cannot do this without having a guaranteed and viable curriculum
right.
that hits the depth and complexity that each standard is asking us to get to. And, you know, this is never-ending work.
Right. Absolutely right.
As teachers and as educators, we're always looking to better our craft. We're always looking to talk to our peers and say, you know, did I hit that standard? Did I reach the depth and complexity that we did we cover it in the time uh-huh. that we thought that we would cover it? How did it go during your right. common formative assessment? So what we're trying to do here is to make sure that all students, you know, receive the same education. So for example, if I have five second grade teachers, then teacher A, teacher B, teacher C, teacher D are covering just about the same lesson to
right,
the same level
right.
of depth and complexity,
yes.
because this ensures equity. This ensures that all of our students
exactly.
are learning at the pace that we need them to learn. So we are well underway, and I'm sure you're going to add something from your teacher
well,
perspective.
Of course. And I remember, you know, working on alignment years ago as an administrator, and it's harder than it sounds.
Yes.
You know, trying to make sure that all teachers at second grade, third grade, sixth grade, ninth grade, each student is getting the same education according to their needs,
yes.
you know? But, you know, there's also sometimes changes happen because I listened to high school students when we were working on that strategic plan, mm-hmm. and I heard concerns they had. And of course, I internalize everything and go, okay, so what does this mean for me and what I can do? And so I find myself, you know, as I'm working on mine, is trying to put in some real world adulting topics that the high school kids were crying out for. And even though I'm teaching middle school, it's like, all right, how can we get started here and get kids thinking about it? Oh, and I just changed it. I added a lesson, and it's been going on the last 2 days. And the things I'm hearing from the kids, it's just awesome.
Yes, and that's the power of this process. And I specifically, you know, really like the fact that in Alamosa, we're having our teachers do this. Bigger school districts will have a whole department that does all of this work, and then it's just handed down to teachers.
Right.
I love that we are really empowering, valuing our teachers, and we're saying you have years and years of experience, bachelor's, master's degrees.
And we have those teachers.
You know your craft.
Yes.
So who better than a team of teachers to make these important decisions for, you know, every grade level? And of course, you know, collectively we look at them. But I just love that we're engaging in this process.
Well, so how often, tell us, how often does the curriculum need to be refined?
Like I said before, it's an ongoing process. But really, a formal refinement of the curriculum should take place about every 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
We know that standards are changing often. They're always being looked at by the state, and then standards will change. So a formal process every 3 years or so, but this is ongoing work that should always be happening in PLCs, and small tweaks should be made, you know, every year as we come back, and then we debrief on what we learned from our curriculum this school year and how we're going to improve and make it better for the following year.
There you go. All right. And now we know. Thanks for sharing this information today, Louise. It's important for you, the parents, our community, to know that we want to stay current and implement what works best for our students always. All right. Well, let's move into our next segment, Getting to Know Our Schools. Louise, you promised us we had somebody very important today here. So who will our audience be meeting today?
Today, we have the pleasure of having a very special member of our Moose family. This is a man with broad shoulders who bears just as much responsibility as our superintendent, I would say. Lastly, this is a man who leads by example, and just today, he was the first person to be tased at our security team as a security team went through taser training, and I got to see a video. He is our district safety officer, as well as our district transportation director. We have the pleasure of having Mr. Scott Honeycutt with us.
Welcome to Education Radio, Scott.
Thank you, ma'am.
How long have you been working for our district?
I started driving the bus in 2003.
Okay.
Under Mary Owens.
Wow. You've been here a while,
yes. It's been a while. I took about a year and a half off and then come back as the interim director, and here I sit.
Well, we're glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
All right. And so we want to know a little bit about you, but I can't let this question go by. You got tased today.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So my hope is that all of us listening will never go through that. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. Our security guards that we're trying to put in place in our schools, the one on each campus, today was their taser training. And very, very intense, very educational. And anyways, when I heard about it, I've never been tased in my life. And we talked a little bit about it. And I said, so who are you going to tase? And he said, well, we may not have anybody. And my father told me, you live by an example. Don't ever ask somebody to do something you're not willing to do yourself.
Wow.
And I brought that to the table and told him, well, I guess I'm your tase dummy.
Yikes. What did it feel like?
You know, they kind of tricked me because I thought they was going to tell me to reach for a fake gun and then they'd tase me. Well, I was supposed to reach for it after I was tased.
Oh.
And anyways, you feel these four, they shot me twice, and you feel these four darts hit you in the back. And that is not bad, but when your muscles contract from the electricity, I mean, you just can't move. you know, your mind still works, my legs still worked, but I could not reach my hand out to grab that weapon.
Wow.
It lasted 5 seconds. And it
an
seemed
eternity.
Like an eternity. When I watched the video, I'm like, no way, it was way longer than that.
Wow. But
just 5 seconds.
Wow, my hat's off to you for being brave. And those are wise words from Dad.
Yeah, I kind of try to live by them.
Well, good for you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Did you grow up here?
Born and raised right here in Alamosa, Colorado. My family goes back to the rodeo world. We have a rodeo business. My grandpa started in 1949.
Okay.
And I'm a silent partner. My brother runs it right now.
Okay. Is your brother the announcer?
Yeah.
Someone asked if you were the announcer.
No, you don't hear me talk much. And so throughout life, my kids grew up. Both boys went to school here. One graduated from here. The other one from Sangre. And I just love it here. My wife has an embroidery business. We've been here our entire lives.
Well, we're glad to have you with the district.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
And so we've got, you know, that swatting incident happened last week. Second one this school year.
Your heart goes from 0 to 5 million instantly.
Yes, it does.
And I just can't give our team enough praise and credit. You know, I don't think we're ever going to get comfortable with this. If I have anything to do with it, we won't.
Of course.
But we was better prepared.
Yes.
We were on task, and we did it a whole lot faster. Our police department was there in 45 seconds.
Oh, hats off to the police department. That's wonderful. And,
you know, they did their job perfectly. You know, can we get better? Yes. I mean, we learned a lot from the first one. We also learned a lot from this one. But as we put the safety measures in place, we're all getting a little bit better at responding. And I don't want to say comfortable. Just
right.
Better at responding.
Right. And, you know, when that call came through, I had gone through the first swatting incident with the same group of kids. And we knew what we were going to do when that happened. And so this time, you know, they just looked at me with those big sixth grade eyes, and I nodded my head and pointed, and they did exactly what we needed to do quickly. And then, of course, we were awaiting, and I took my red bag in. Do you want to talk about the red bag?
I'll be glad to.
All right. Tell us about it.
So the red bag is just another communication instrument, and it allows us to respond to our teachers quicker. From the first incident, that was one of the big comments from the teachers, is just lack of knowledge.
Right.
Mm. Didn't know what's going on. Your mind gets to playing games.
Yes.
With you. So the quicker we can reach out to teachers and let them know what's going on and what they need to do, plus, we get information back from them on if they're safe, if they have all their kids,
right,
or if they have a problem in that classroom.
Right. And so it took a couple of tries, yeah, right, for that QR code to connect. Mm-hmm. But that was because we needed someone in the district to open
to
it up.
To activate it, correct.
Right, to activate it. Once that happened, parents, you know, it asked me questions. Whether we were locked down, whether our lights were off, how many students I had, how many adults I had, did I need immediate help? And my understanding is that if I had someone that was in immediate health, having a health issue, you know, that you could put me in touch with a doctor, someone through
correct.
The phone so that I could tend to that child.
Yes, ma'am.
Exactly. While the incident is being played out somewhere else.
That is exactly right. They're very room specific. So that lets our first responders know exactly where they're at in the building. Cuts response time down tremendously. And, you know, that specialist can be talking you through what you need to do until they get there.
Right, right. And you know, in talking to Bruce Luco at our campus, you know, he's always assured me, you know, police officers are going to be here. Within a minute or two, they're going to be on campus. And so I use that to reassure my students.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have police here, guys, very quickly. And so we just need to get to safety and then wait for people to do what they need to do. And so hats off to everyone. Luis, jump in. Sorry,
I was just going to add that the Redback has a GPS feature. So we know exactly where that specific teacher and group of kids are. If you are in a smaller room in a closet, we know exactly where they're at. And then the other feature that it has is that it'll prompt some videos if there is an emergency that the teacher can walk through.
Okay.
There's some videos there. And lastly, the red bag is actually a first aid kit. It's equipped right. with a yep. lot
it's
of
a basic first yeah. aid kit.
Right.
With emergency, what's the word I'm looking for? Needs, you know, mm-hmm. tourniquets, stuff like that.
You know, one of the things that I really appreciated, and both of you gentlemen were there, was that right after school on the day of the incident, mm-hmm. We had a meeting where we were able to talk about things that worked mm-hmm. and things that didn't work. And it was a learning experience,
yes,
right,
ma'am.
For everyone, yep, yep. you know, for all of us. And I appreciate the fact that those of you who are out of town, Louise, mm-hmm. you know, you were on Zoom and right there in the meeting, and you were right there at OMS with us, Scott. And I think we were able to discuss some problem areas. Again, we don't want this to ever happen.
Never, never.
But
I say this, God has given us two tremendous gifts, real life exercise, and nobody got hurt.
That's right.
And we can learn and continue to learn. Will we ever get it right? I'm going to say 95% maybe. But that 95% is way better than nothing at all.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And I think the district has been proactive in mm-hmm. setting things up so that we can now communicate.
Yep.
You can account for people. There's communication going on in real time.
Exactly.
While the mm-hmm. officers are taking care of what they need to do. And really, I also want to just shout out to our administrators on campus that day, Amy Ortega and Nate Gonzalez, who were, you know, just
phenomenal job.
Right, yeah. right. Keeping their heads about them. And they were not hiding anywhere.
No. Nope.
They were out there working to make sure that everybody was safe, that there wasn't anyone on campus. But can you tell our audience, how did all this swatting, how did it come about?
My latest intel is this one was a computer-generated phone number, and it went down the alphabet.
Oh.
Last I heard, there was 27 schools in the state of Colorado that got oh. hit with some kind of incident. And it was all computer-generated, and it just made the phone call into dispatch, and they responded immediately. Some schools had bomb threats, others had active shooters, and so on.
So they were all different.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we've got a team, and I can't stress this enough, that we are building together. We're learning together.
Right.
And it just gets better and better and better. Mm-hmm. I've never worked with a team like this outside of my family that is so intense and involved in the safety side. Just as much as like you was talking in the first segment about the curriculum, it works hand in hand, and we take feedback from the students. You know, part of that was if we can reassure them and let them know what's going on, they're better off.
That's right.
I had the, you know, my first instinct was, well, the less they know, the better. That's not the case. You know, with our modern cell phones and
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
That information gets out there so fast, it's mm-hmm. not even funny. So the quicker we get to it, the better off we are.
That's yeah. right.
And I want to just add a few things. We're trying to address different things that we've learned about during the first swatting incident. But I want to also backtrack a little bit. When we did our strategic plan that you were talking about, Adri, in our community, all of our stakeholders told us loud and clear, we need to feel safe. We need to feel loved. Our mental health, social, emotional needs to be addressed. That strategic area too. Also, our Board of Education set their goals, and their goals were safety and academics.
Mm-hmm.
So we've definitely gone to work on make sure that everyone feels safe, mm-hmm. Feels welcome, feels loved, but also academics. Now, I want to go back to the first swatting incident. You talked about red bag. We quickly learned that our staff internally, the only way they were getting communication was through the text messages that I, as the district communicator, was sending. And we knew that we needed to fix that. So then we got red bag. We were also lucky to receive two major grants. We were just talking, you know, when we were getting ready for this, that it's about a $650,000 investment through grants to do two things. That is the SAFER grant that I'll let you talk about, but we also just received the SSD, which expanded our radio. So would you please talk about the SAFER grant and what it will do? We're getting close to final installation. We've been through a lot of learning, a lot of professional development. Just yesterday, we were learning how to use radios and how to talk on the radio. Uh-huh. And some things seem like simple, but they're not.
No,
right?
No.
So talk to us about the SAFER grant first, and then let's get into the SSSD grant that we just recently received.
Well, and the SAFER grant boils down to the quicker response we get to law enforcement, or law enforcement gets to us, first responders, is the key. So by receiving this grant, let me try to make it as simple as possible. Dispatch can now radio and bridge directly to the school.
Okay.
And not just one school, but every school.
Okay.
And we can talk back to dispatch. And we can talk to first responders, say we have a fire. We can talk to the firemen. Or if we have an emergency, health emergency, a child's having a seizure, we can talk to the paramedics. Dispatch can now bridge all of our school radios with a click of a button.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Instant communication. Uh-huh. You know, and training is involved. You know, once we have that emergency, everybody's got to take care of business, but we'll get there. The teachers, the admin people were super last night, and it's just quicker communication, faster response time, if we can get any faster, but I think we can, and more, I like to look at it as broader safety network across our school.
Okay. Okay. And so we're not relying on a phone line that might be busy.
Correct.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe disconnected for some outside reason. Okay.
And during an incident like the swatting, the cell phones explode.
Right.
Whether it's text messaging or phone calls. Mm-hmm. This way, dispatch can talk directly to that school. And with right now 13 radios in each school. If they need to talk to all of us, times five.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other thing I learned is, you know, just the definition of emergency. Of course, because of the recent swatting events, you know, we think about that. But, you know, yesterday we went over a scenario of a compound fracture. We need help in that case. We need ambulance. We need medics. Right. And that would be an event that we can then, you know, talk to dispatch, and the ambulance talk directly to the incident commander, who mm-hmm. is with the student managing the situation, so that we can get, like Scott said, a quicker response and make sure that we continue to keep everyone safe. Now, we expanded that by applying for a second grant, the SSSD grant, which were awarded to purchase radios.
That got us 47 more radios that we can spread throughout our school district, to where it just... There again, we're broadening that safety net and more information quicker from each school. It doesn't matter if one person's busy. Now we have 13 people that are available.
Right.
Where before, you know, you was yelling at the top of your lungs, hoping you got somebody. We've placed these radios in specific hands, you know, teachers and principals and, you know, our safety team that are ready and being trained as we go on how to respond to each incident.
And, you know, at OMS, you know, kids go outside, you know, and so I know that now they're going to be carrying those radios outside, which is, having had, you know, lunch duty outside for several years, you know, it was tough, you know, to be able to communicate with the office, you know, when we're outside.
Exactly.
And now it's just...
Now it's just a click of a button.
So much easier, yes.
And then I will take that a step further. Now every school can call into the district or to you. If there's an emergency for any reason, now we're all connected. And now we're all on a radio. And we're all assessing the situation. There's an incident manager that will be managing the situation. You know, most of the time will be Scott or I or Dr. Jones. And then from that point on, we're all responding and supporting each other to make sure that, again, everyone is safe. there's another layer of safety, which is our security guards. I've talked on this podcast quite a bit about what it is that we're doing, the directive that the Board of Education gave us. I know that we were pretty close at finalizing the training. Today was a TASER training. Yesterday they had a radio training. Just talk to us about that. The security guards, where they're going to be.
Tomorrow's their last piece, and that's their physical training. And once they pass that and they get all their certificates in place, we are good to go with security guards in each of the schools. It's been a very, very learning process, and I'm excited because the company we went with, their training is off the charts. These people are special forces.
Okay.
They are nationally recognized trainers in their field, and they're putting these guys, and we have one lady, through the mill. I mean, they're going to be ready for whatever comes, but their priority is 99% prevention, 1% reaction.
Okay.
And that was our whole goal, is we don't want people that are just going to be sitting in a chair.
Right.
They're going to be mingling with the students, getting to know them, helping them where they need, you know, they may even help with homework. That's what we're after.
So they will be building a relationship.
Yes, ma'am.
Because, you know, as a teacher, I can tell you that a lot of times you find out really important information when that child opens up to you.
Yep.
And then we can seek outside help if we need it, or provide more help within the school system, you know, for them. And so that's awesome that that security guard will be mingling with the students, right? And they'll notice when something is wrong.
Exactly. And they're still going to be security. I mean,
right,
they're
looking for
what's out of place. But if a student comes up and says, hey, I need help, they're going to go help them.
That's right.
You know, that's just the way we need to go. I don't want any of the students or the parents to be worried or scared. This is just more eyes.
That's right.
And better equipped people in our schools.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how the students react, having that security, you know, person, you know, walking the halls, and it'll be interesting to observe as
to
a teacher. Yes.
You know, and we have really good people.
We do.
And I think that they're going to fit in. You know, they're very specific in their age groups, which I truly appreciate this company doing this.
Right.
And, you know, Denver Metro has spent a lot of time preparing the specific classrooms, K2, 3-5, OMS, high school, alt ed. It's a completely different set of kids at each school. And so we're catering to the kids, not our security guards, if that makes sense.
Good for you. And I'm glad that we were able to connect with a company such
as
this.
Me too. Yep. Yep.
That is wonderful.
Scott, there's another layer. We had a safety audit done. I'm not going to ask you to, you know, go over the safety audit because that's, you know, that's our information. We continue to work to improve the safety conditions for all. But would you just talk a little bit about that process?
We spent 3 days with a professional that goes to schools all over the United States and does a security audit. He looks for specific things. I mean, I don't know how many times he opened a car door, you know, to see if it was locked, or grabbed a room door to see if it was locked. And we went from that basic to complete overhauls of the school and what they needed, how we as a district can do better. And it was very eye-opening. You know, we have some holes that we was able to fix immediately.
Okay.
Through his help. There's some that's going to cost some money, but, you know, that'll come in time. But very eye-opening on just how the modern-day security is so much different than when I went to school. And he was a tremendous asset. You know, things don't happen overnight.
That's right.
And so we're going to work through the processes and, you know, simple things of educating our teachers and our students. I know it gets hot. We're working on fixing the air conditioning. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these steps are in place, but we got to be diligent that we watch that door or we don't prop that door open.
Right.
Little
right.
things like that make a huge difference.
Overall, he felt pretty good about our school and our district. there's some things that we need to fix, improve on. But overall, he felt pretty good about.
Yeah, he was very impressed. You know, he said, I don't see this very often. Usually when they call me, it's because something drastic has happened.
Right.
And they're trying to close the barn door after the horse already got out. And he said, you guys are miles ahead, but we can do better. And that's what he guided us through.
Excellent. And, you know, it's just such the school district is such a community within the employees, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's working on in their area. But what's key here, parents, is that while we're working in the classroom and improving curriculum, we've got other people such as Scott who are out there making sure that we've got safety measures in place should we ever need them.
Yep. And, you know, our team is huge, you know, and if we're not working on one issue of curriculum, then we're working on safety or, you know, right. You just spread it out and you keep moving forward. You keep getting better. You know, the communication is key to everybody moving forward. And I'm excited. I mean, we have some pretty special things coming.
We really do. You really do. And thank you for everything that you are contributing.
I'm glad to help. This. I'm just a small piece in all this big puzzle.
Well, an important piece, sir.
And I guess the last piece is practice, 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 right? We continue to practice, drill, learn, and practice some more and practice some more so that, you know, our response gets even better than what we've had.
And I'll leave it with one comment that I learned. Safety prepared is not safety scared.
Say it one more time for us.
Safety prepared is not safety scared.
There you go.
And we will be prepared.
And then the last piece, safety is everyone's responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. You know, our kids, our teachers, our staff, our parents, you know, it encompasses everybody and getting everybody on the same page.
Right.
And we're moving forward. I think we've made greater strides in the last 6-8 months.
Yes,
than
I agree.
In a long, long time.
I agree.
And we'll just keep getting better and stronger.
Excellent. Scott, thank you so much for joining us. And parents, I hope you are feeling better about safety being covered in our district. I know that I do as a teacher who's there every day. I feel better knowing that all of this is in place for us. So Scott, thank you. Thanks to your team. And hats off to you for getting tased today.
That means a lot that you feel better. I appreciate that.
All right, well, we are going to move on to our last segment, upcoming events. Well, it looks like the date to close Victoria Street Avenue is now March 13th. So information has gone out to parents about the new traffic pattern for student drop-off and pickup. So it looks like things are in place for this big change happening on March 13th.
That's right, Adri. In fact, before we started recording, I was looking at Twitter and the city of Alamosa also put out some information about the change. But what we know is that the recent weather storms have delayed the start date for this project. We feel pretty good about the information that we sent out. I know that our buses will start here, you know, practicing or actually taking the loop on our track so that when the 13th comes around, it is as smooth as we can have it be.
Okay.
Yeah, our goal is to make it seamless. I mean, we're going to have some hiccups and everybody's going to have some patience.
Right.
All of Victoria is going to be closed from the bowling alley, Juanito's intersection up to Thomas.
Okay.
And so we've rerouted the buses and gave the parents an opportunity to still drop their kids off. It's in the north parking lot now versus the south.
Okay.
But trying to make all them concessions and make everything work together. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have some hiccups, but nothing we can't overcome. We have a good plan in place.
Good.
And shouldn't cost us any time, you know, as far as our bus routes go. You know, the time frame should stay pretty much the same.
Right, right. Okay. All right.
We have a few more days.
Okay. Well, they parents, we've got one more week before the end of the quarter. And so it is time to get those assignments turned in, get caught up on whatever is missing, because next week is the end of the quarter.
That is correct. The other upcoming event that we have, Adri, is our high school boys basketball team made it to the state tournament.
And congratulations to that team.
Having a wonderful season. They will be playing at 1:30 on Friday at the Denver Coliseum. But on Thursday, there will be a send-off starting at approximately 11:50.
Okay.
So this is on Thursday. So come out, send them good vibes, good luck, wave. You know, they usually take a route in front of the school. So if you can, if you're listening, let's show up for our kids.
Excellent. Well, that does it for today's episode of Education Radio. Parents and neighbors, thank you for joining us. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our district page. Remember, parents, that a good education is key to your child's success and provides your child with a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District, students today, leaders tomorrow.